9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Discussing everything about the afterlife and spirit world.
Hey, 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 guys, and welcome to another episode of Life After Life with me, Sandy Byrne. And in this episode, I am joined by Ulrika Sullivan, who is a Swedish lady living in Boston. And she's a certified life coach, yoga teacher, energy healer, podcast host, and best-selling author. And she helps people to reconnect with their inner calm and life balance. Ulrika, welcome to Life After Life, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no problem at all. Because I tell you, I was looking at your website, and the thing that really interested me, now, I know you do a lot. You talk about heart-based living with your heart, your intuition, and your body wisdom. Could you explain that a little bit to us about what exactly that means?
So, yeah, many of us have always been using our mind, our brain, and it almost comes to us first, right? That we're trying to figure things out and we're going to our logical domain. But what I'm helping others shift into is to tap into their heart, because many times we find ourselves frustrated, worried, not really knowing who we are. Mm-hmm. And often we're stuck in our heads, right? That I think many of us are familiar with that feeling of, oh, is it this or is it that? Or is it like this worry or indecisiveness or whatever we call it, self-doubt? What I help others with is to really tap into our heart energy and our intuition, which is bringing us a different perspective. It's nothing wrong with using our brain and you know, problem solve. That's all good. But when we add the perspective of our heart energy, we can tap into our true self, which is, you know, there is no really doubt there. It just is. It's a higher frequency of energy that allows us to know our own truth. And once we start to lean into heart energy and letting the mind energy, so to say, to sit in the back a little bit, that's when we can feel, huh, I know the answer to this already. Huh, I know what's right for me. Our whole connection with intuition is linked to this.
Oh, perfect. So really, I suppose it ties in with what we talk about a lot on this show, which is the spiritual side. So would you say that when you're talking about your heart energy, it's really raising your vibration to connect with your spirit a little bit, really, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And again, many that I come across are not really connected to something bigger than themselves, or having that perspective or sense of that they can tap into their higher self or spirit, whatever we want to call it, on a daily basis. It's either something that they can't really relate to, or that they have an idea of, but it's not bringing them the peace or inner knowing that they're ultimately looking for.
Sure. So I suppose that leads on to, I know part of what you write about in your book, and we'll talk about your book in a minute. You talk about helping people to focus on their soul purpose. So is that the same thing, or just described a different way? Or what would you describe your soul purpose as being?
Yeah. And if we had a map of our soul, you couldn't really, put any limits to it, right?
Sure.
But when we start to tap into our heart energy, we're also tapping into what I call our soul, true self or soul purpose. It's really the same thing, but we need to get to know it. And the way to get to know it is often through the energy of creativity.
Okay.
It has the same texture as creativity, that life force energy, if you will. And so our soul purpose sometimes expresses itself when we are in a state of a creative state. And if someone is watching or listening and thinking, well, I'm not creative. Well,
I'm just thinking about it.
It's a different perspective on creativity. Creativity is not how well you can, you know, paint a painting or knit a blanket or something, right? That's not what we're talking about here. Creativity is really when we are in a state of complete connection with the universe or our bigger self, our true self. And in that state, we can create and manifest, right? Mm-hmm. And whether that comes through for somebody as like it does for me, like in through writing,
sure,
it can express itself differently for everyone. And our soul purpose is found in that state when we feel we're completely free. Mm-hmm. And can create without boundary, right? And often we can tap into this energy just by going back to, you know, early childhood memories where we had this innate creativity about us. And so that's really how we trace, at least how I help others trace back to their soul purpose in that sense. And there's many ways to add to the coloring of soul purpose per se to help us kind of relate how we can use it in physical life.
In the physical
every
life,
day.
Yeah. But, so I suppose I'm just thinking while you're talking, because I want to understand this as well. So really, because I'm always saying, because, you know, in the spiritual realm, we talk so much about meditation. And I'm always trying to say to people, meditation isn't necessarily sitting in the lotus position and chanting. Okay, it could be walking your dog, it could be writing, it could be singing, it could be painting. So in a way, this is kind of what you're talking about, your creative side. It's whatever helps you connect with you. And then I suppose what you're expressing helps you bring out your soul purpose. Am I getting you?
Yes, absolutely. And yes.
Yeah. Because the word meditation scares people away. It really does. Because we always think, oh, I haven't got time, or I don't have the patience. I know I can't sit still. And in your book, I believe you talk about some daily spiritual practices, you know, that people can use to bring this out. Do you have any you can share with us, or can you tell us what this kind of entails?
Yes, and I can go on and on with this, but the book essentially begins with refreshing our memories around, you know, some patterns and common patterns we may get into. And the short version of that is that through our lives, we pick up certain either behaviors or expectations from the external world that becomes kind of filters that we are applying at all times. Now, when we are opening up to a spiritual practice, whether that is, as you say, walk the dog, or, you know, connecting to that creativity and that sense of life force, that's when we open up to this opportunity to know our true self. And through, sometimes in the beginning, spiritual practice such as meditation is of course one of the backbones. But for those who are not really into meditation or feel that that's not their way,
yes,
connecting with nature, for example, is okay, a way to align to you know, abundance in a way, and a natural flow of energy that we all are part of. So that's another. That's why walking the dog can be so really a spiritual practice, right? Or even interacting with animals in general, and observing how they go about their life is a teaching in itself.
It sure is, you know. You know, and hiking, you know, once you get up there and you see the vastness of the earth, anything that can, I suppose, any kind of walking, hiking with animals, it really makes me feel grounded. You know, I really, you know, when you get to that level, you actually feel like you're a part of something. And especially after the last 2 years, everybody feels kind of disconnected, don't they?
Yes, yes. And that disconnection often comes from that. We often want to make our activities during the days, whether it's working or walking the dog, into a to-do list.
Yeah.
And that is the major difference that I'm suggesting in the book too, that, you know, whether your spiritual practice, a spiritual practice, there's no right and wrong, right? As we say, as long as it works for you. But what it takes is to make space for yourself, to observe, to be part of this overall energy of abundance, if you will, and not make it into a to-do list. And that's a major difference in how we perceive this spiritual practice of ours, because it becomes a to-do list. Oh, I have to have a spiritual practice Monday to Friday, and I'm going to, you know, strike out every day, and I'm doing it, right? That's fine. But when we get into a spiritual practice, it is about what insights come to us.
I agree.
And what do we do with those insights? It's not about striking, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
Right? Would you agree, Sandy?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And I should mention to the listeners as well that your book is called Wisdom Beyond What You Know. And it's about how to shift from being driven by the mind to living from the heart and intuition. So I will put the link to your website and your book in the description box as well for people. But just so that they know, it's Ulrika Sullivan, and it's called Wisdom Beyond What You Know. So I think I'll definitely have to sit down and read this, because I think part of what you do, if I remember reading correctly, is you work with a lot of kind of busy women, working mothers, all this kind of stuff, to help them peel back the layers. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And we come back to this sense of disconnection again. And many times it's because multitasking women, mothers, or, you know, full-time jobs, whatever, it's different for everyone. But what I see consistently is that there's no time for ourselves. And without that making space for ourselves in our own life, I usually say putting ourselves at the top of the mountain of our own life, then it's not going to be more than a to-do list in terms of what we're trying to do for ourselves. But so, yeah, it's a shift that can add great value to our lives just by making that shift and adding, removing the distraction, if you will. And
yes.
I would also say that it's not about removing things from your life. We still have busy families, kids, work, all of that. It's the perspective of how we approach our life and what the inner conversation becomes that is the shift. So there's not about like moving and sitting on the couch, right?
Yeah,
things. I'm more productive today than I was in my corporate career as a scientist and businesswoman for 20 plus years. I'm feeling more fulfilled and productive today than what I did then, even if I had everything on the list of being a successful woman.
That's amazing. And just, I suppose, from, you know, the perspective of a working mother, what outcomes could I expect to get? Like, because I know you're saying, okay, well, it's not about stripping everything back so you can sit down and watch Judge Judy every day, okay? It's not about getting rid of your to-do list because, you know, we're still working mothers. We still have, you know, a lot to do. And you don't even have to be a mother. You could just be a career person who can't fit everything into the day. We're not just talking about mothers. We're talking about anybody, really. And is it a mindset shift, really? Is that what we're talking about?
In a way, it's a mindset shift. However, it's a shift on how we perceive life from being, you know, very much in the future, coming back to the present moment where we actually experience ourselves and the moment in a different way, which brings ease, flow, fulfillment, if you will, that increased sensation of happiness, really. Because if I go back to my past, I always had something to do next. I lived very much in the future, which never brought me back to appreciate today. And it sounds very, you know, cliche, or, you know, appreciate the few, what you have, but it's a profound shift in for example, just be a bird outside or a tree and fully appreciate its beauty.
So that's when you're in the tree. Okay,
yeah.
I sit here watching the trees and the birds all day and I still don't get it. But no, I've just had my bingo moment, because I am always saying to people that, you know, we spend today to buy tomorrow. But life is today. It's not in 6 months' time. It's not in 12 months' time. It's not in 5 years' time. It's today. And, you know, my kids are older now. You know, I don't have the same pressure with kids as I did when they were younger. But I definitely know that when they were younger, I just feel like I had no life, you know. And I wish I'd known this then, because I was always thinking, oh, you know, and everything for me was a stage. If he can just hold his own bottle, pick up his own dummy, you know, can he just walk, you know, and just always waiting for the next stage instead of enjoying. So, like, you know, they're the points where you actually need this more, you know. So I totally get it now. Okay, so we do talk about the same stuff.
And it's just I want to add one thing too. Because here's the kicker, is that in that moment when we are observing, let's say, something outside, it's just as an example, that's when we connect to the universe, spirit, God, whoever, like whatever we call it. That's when the intuitive hits are starting to come. That's when we start to notice the synchronicities in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help us increase the trust that we are on the right track, if you will, because that's where this disconnectedness or self-doubt often is coming from, that we are not trusting. And you can see that above here.
Yeah. So for those that are just listening, I have Ulrika here on my screen, and right over her head she's got a huge sign that says trust. So it's about trusting ourselves. That's a huge thing. I still don't think I have that one figured out, you know, so I really get that. And especially, you know, as you say, when you are trying to do everything, you're trying to organize a family, whether it's your own children, whether it's brothers, sisters looking after parents, there's a lot of trust that needs to happen, isn't it? That you can do everything and do it to the best of your abilities. I get it now. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about was, you know, like in your book, you do talk about the importance of taking care of ourselves energetically and increasing the awareness of energy. So we've talked a little bit about the energy, but how can we take care of ourselves energetically? What does that entail?
This is such an important topic. Energy awareness is one of the first things that I work with if I work with somebody coming to me, it is to suggest to get curious about how you run energy. And what I mean with that is that we all have a unique energy imprint. And we can learn about that. There is information out there, and what I'm referring to is through energy tools such as numerology, such as astrology, human design, the gene keys. It's of those, at least those are the ones I'm working with, where you can learn about your energy imprint, and it can provide you with what you, how you interact with others, what you need to be successful, what, how you, what rhythm optimally is for you. Because as an example, for me, when I learned about my energy imprint, I realized that I had been working against my own energy for a long time. And when we're working against our energy, what we see is frustration, worry, feeling exhausted, mm-hmm. things like that. That's a sign that we're working against what our natural energy wants to do. So just by learning about our own energy imprint to begin with can be life-changing. And then the work becomes, how can I align more and more to what's natural for me? And for some, it's a big life change. For example, I went from a corporate career to being an entrepreneur. And that provided me with a major shift energetically, because I was once the one out there, go-getter, right? And that was not really my natural energy. While some, that's their natural energy to be the one being out there and are, you know, naturally in that energy, and it aligns with their own imprint. So energy awareness is hugely important. And also what you asked me about was, how can we, you know, take care of our energy, yes. in a sense. And often what I see, people come to me feeling, you know, I feel so exhausted when I speak with certain people, or I feel exhausted when I come out from a large group and everybody is kind of taking my energy. And once they realize that they freely give of their energy, they can also learn how to protect their energy and keep it. So it's this energetic boundaries, simply, that everyone can learn and feel so much better and not feeling like your annoying aunt that you always have to meet in family functions, right?
Absolutely.
You can actually change that dynamic just by not doing anything different, but to be aware of what you can do to protect your energy and not giving it away.
So it's just basically,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it's identifying where the leak is. Where are you leaking the energy? And block that hole, basically. It sounds so simple, really, doesn't it? I know it's not.
It does sound simple.
But is there any pre... Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Ulrika, I didn't mean to cut across you. There's a slight delay. Is there any precursor to working with you? So, I mean, is it beneficial for somebody maybe to have past life regression or past life retrieval or, you know, any of these things? Or do they not need any of that? They can come directly to you?
You can come directly to me. The only precursor, if you will, is your own yourself.
Beg your pardon, your own self.
Your own self. Because, and what I'm meaning, that if the commitment is not there to change or wanting to be open to change, there is always a comfort zone that we want to go back to, right? Mm-hmm. So... but I can also help with that, because a lot of people come to me. I'm having these different patterns and habits that I want to break. I know I'm ready for it. I know we all have different patterns and habits that we may not serve us. Sure. But for the level of success to happen is that it's an inner commitment within the person who comes to me. And I can easily sense that if the commitment is there or not. But that, other than that, I can work with anyone. There is no precursor in terms of coming to me. We start where you are, mm-hmm. and we go where you want to go with it. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Sounds great. Now, you can tell me to know and mind my own business for this last question. But I was going to ask you, do you have any maybe stories that you can share? Is there a success story? I know you can't tell us who and the exact circumstances, but of how this has helped somebody, like what can people hope to achieve from the working mm-hmm. with you?
Yes. So I can refer to multiple clients who've come sure. to me with knowing that there is so much more potential within them, and it could take expression like I want to write a book, or I want to be, you know, starting my own business, or whatever it may be. It's always different for everyone, but there's something there that they know is not realized, or they have this dream, right? So one person came to me for one thing. She wanted to be more successful in her business. And it soon revealed itself that it wasn't really the business success that she wanted. What she really wanted was better relationships within her family. And that really was what held her back from realizing her business idea, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
So it all links together.
Yes, I know. You know what? I get that so much because during psychic readings, people always come with a question in their mind, but spirit always have something else in their mind to talk to you about. And that makes so much sense to me, you know, that people are bringing, you know, we either bring our family problems to work or our work problems home, you know, and there's such an overlap, isn't there? And did that person that you're thinking about, did they get it? Did they manage to overcome these difficulties? Yeah.
Yes. And we worked for quite a while together. She removed a lot of her old patterns, if you will, or I would say mindsets, or I don't really work with the word mindset. I work with energy that is stuck. So there is always an opportunity to transform energy. And many times when we feel resistance towards something or someone, it's energy that's been stuck. And we can release that, transform that into a more supportive energy. So that's the language I use. But I also tap into what they, you know, the intuitive part of it is that I can see also what the true potential of a person is in that sense. And of course, the person will want to go that way,
of course,
of their true potential. But it really is up to them. I'm not a person who tell them the answers because I don't have them, but I can tell if there's an unresolved energy knot, if you will, that can be transformed. And yes, once she came to releasing and forgiving, because often it is about forgiving ourselves sure. for holding on to certain interpretations or assumptions or beliefs. Mm-hmm. And once we transform that, we can open up to our potential. So yes, she started her business and is doing wonderfully. And her, you know, it takes time, right? It's not a quick fix.
Yeah.
But it's that commitment that if I go back to the commitment we talked about in the beginning, that is what's going to help everyone through that journey of soul growth. And so that's why that is so important. Like our true intent and wish for change.
Excellent. I'm so glad for her, because so many of us get stuck in that energy block and never get past it. So it's so important that you identify it and move on. Oh, thank you so much, Ulrika. I've so enjoyed that. And I could probably talk to you for a lot longer, but I'm mindful of your time and the people listening as well. So before I let you go, is there anything else that you want to add? I will give out, so in the description box attached here, we'll have your website, links to your book, and everything. I think there's a freebie people can get on your website. Is that right?
Yes. And it actually is how my 7-step guide, how to listen to your intuition. So that might be a suitable little guide for you who are wanting to go deeper with all of this.
So, okay, guys, so Ulrika's given a freebie that you can download from her website, the 7-step guide. So the link will be below where you can go to download that. So Ulrika, thank you so much for your time. We really, really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll catch up with you again in the future. And you know, talk to you maybe a little bit more, because I'm sure I'll have loads of questions after this, so we can have you back on at a future date to answer all of those. So for now, thank you so much for your time, and to everybody listening, I will see you or talk to you in the next episode of Life After Life. Discussing everything.